The following is a KMOX sports special.
Our city, our spirit.
Welcome to the City Spotlight.
It's in! City goal!
Now, your host, Jen Cease, on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
It's a Thursday night City Spotlight. It's soccer time on KMOX Radio. I'm Jen Cease, and I'll be your host tonight for this one-hour edition of the City Spotlight. We try to have them pretty much every week. Sometimes it's a floating show based on Cardinals baseball. We also have some special editions of these as well. And the next 2 weeks on the, I believe it's the 18th, if I've got my dates right, next Thursday, and the 25th, we will have our final KMOX soccer showcases. So those actually be a little bit earlier. So I'm going to promo those ahead of time. A little earlier in the evening, Matt Pauly, who does Sports Open Line, and I get to work together for those couple of hours, which is really great, and travel around to different hotshots locations around St. Louis area where fans can come, listen to the broadcast, get food, get beverages. It's, by the way, a great place to do if you're coming after a soccer practice, and meet the featured city player who's going to be there. These next two, it'll be Timo Baumgartner on the 18th at the Hot Shots in Arnold from 6 to 8. It'll be Tomas Ostrock will be our final one, and that'll be at the Hot Shots in Fenton on the 25th. So make sure you mark those down. I will tell you, the players do a great job of making sure they get in touch with all of the fans who are there and sign autographs and take selfies, and it's a really great time. We do raffles. It's fun. So make sure you join us there. In the meantime, we'll do this City Spotlight myself with Kyle Sixta helping me on the controls as we talk about St. Louis City SC, of course, our favorite MLS team in town, who are not, unfortunately, getting the results that they feel that their performance deserves. The result against FC Dallas at home. Two Texas teams have come to town and not had the results that City wants, certainly not in front of the St. Louis fans with their 3-2 loss to Houston a couple of weeks ago, their most recent 1-1 tie with Dallas. That Dallas game, that this team, Dallas team, goes a player down in the 16th minute. That player happens to be their goalkeeper. So you're thinking, this is easily going to go City's way. But it was hard, considering that Dallas is already a team that likes to pack it in the box, and they did so even more and then looked for their opportunities on the break on the counter. Now, a roster update from the day today. Mekhi Joyner and Sangbin Yong are back in training. Simon Betcher apparently took a knock on the knee. That's a popular thing. They take knocks on his foot. So he was out today for testing. Hopefully we'll hear before pregame, of course, for the next City game on if Simon is available for the lineup, and hopefully he's doing okay. But we've got a couple of guys back. City 2's Seth Antwi was at training today, likely more for training numbers than anything. But David Critchley today in the press conference talked about the fact that, hey, if you're there at training and you do a good job, one, you're there at training for a reason, and two, if you do a good job and fill a role, maybe you could feature on the roster. So that would be interesting if that happens for Seth, but he was at training today with a team who has 5 games left in the season. I when you think back to February when we started this whole thing again this year, it's hard to believe with so many, it seems like, games stretched over a very long season that is soccer in the MLS, that we only have 5 games left. There is no official E next to the City name just yet. Only Montreal, our next opponent, and DC United on the Eastern Conference have that so far. But it is likely, I don't want to be a party pooper, but likely coming for City at some point in time as the team keeps looking to continue to play for pride, for contracts, for jobs, for next season. And honestly, not to have the wooden spoon, not to be last place. They're hanging on to their 2-point lead ahead of the bottom of the conference, Western Conference, LA Galaxy. Both teams tied, so they kind of stay even at their standpoints right now. So let's talk a little bit about David Critchley at the press conference today. I always enjoy hearing from Critch. He's got a very straightforward way he delivers his messaging and how what he's his thought process is on how the team's doing, how he puts together lineups. He talked a little bit, first of all, about the fact that despite the losses, there's still a lot of positivity in the training this week.
It's been a good week. You know, there's been real good intensity in the training sessions. The guys are competing very, very tough out there, very hard out there. So the Monday to Friday I've been very pleased with. We get to the weekend, we have some good performances. We haven't picked up results, we know that. But the process that we've put in place, I've been comfortable with, I've been happy with. Players respond to it every single week. So today, this week's been a good, intense week. So I hope we can now, you know, channel that energy that we've seen in training onto the field this weekend.
So, yeah, hopefully that happens. But, of course, the team does what they always do, and they look back on the previous game. And as David Critchley and the team looked back, you know, he talked a little bit about how so many chances were created. When I was talking to Matt Pauly at the end of Sports Open Line, talked about 41, 42, depending on where you look for your stat, shots, and I think 14 or 15 on goal. So many they outperformed their XG, just was not able to put the goal in. And he talked a little bit about how the team was creating so many chances and the fact that, you know, it wasn't enough to score more than one.
You know, I'd be very happy even if we generate half the chances, but still win the football game. I think for us now, we've talked about this as a group. We've showed them the process. We've showed a lot of data. We've showed a lot of situations where we're doing well, but we haven't won the football game, inevitably. You know, so now it's about getting a result. I would be very, very happy if we create 20 chances in a game, but that's still a very high number. But we still have to score more goals. We can't be giving them amount of chances and not score more than one.
So that's the attacking side, but also, as we know, what started out as a really good strong point for City in the beginning of the season has become an area of concern, and that is on the defense.
The most recent ones at home, I look at the Nashville game, the 3-1 win. We shut out two very good players in Surridge and Mukhtar. The last game, you just look at the data they had, I think it was 0.3 XG, and they scored against 1-1, and they had two chances the entire game. I have to give some credit to the defending side. I know we had a lot of the ball, a lot, but we counter-pressed well, we were aggressive, we swarmed Dallas in moments where they couldn't generate anything. Vancouver, I know there was a couple of moments with the referees that we've all discussed before. They did generate some moments, but against a really tough Vancouver team, I thought we'd done a good job shutting them down. So there's been some good performances, but we have leaked way, way too many goals. And we know that, all of us. It's hard to say the performances are good if you do concede in the big moments as well.
Yeah, big moments to score and big moments to concede. And those have been, you know, one has seemed to be off when the other one has been on for City. So looking forward to CF Montreal. City travels to Montreal to take on another team that hasn't done so well. They're already eliminated. And that really puts a question mark as to how the opponent for City is going to perform this weekend.
I believe they've just recently been eliminated as of the 1-1 draw last week. So you never know what to expect. You never know if you're going to expect a really deflated team that's now mathematically out of it and is just crawling along the finish line. Or is it a group that comes and plays with a lot of freedom, a lot of less pressure, which at times for players can be good. I guess we'll see when we kick off.
Yeah, not only that, David Critchley had some thoughts on what it might look to take on a team that's in the spot that Montreal is in right now.
It will feel different. You know, Dallas was a team that plays, I know the player sent off, they'd affect their shape, but they're a team that is typically defending their own half more. Montreal does press. They make it very chaotic at times, so we can escape the chaotic moments and their pressure. I think there'll be a lot more space than what we've seen against Dallas, so be different types of opportunities we'll create, hopefully more with space in behind or space between the lines. So yeah, looking forward to seeing what we can generate on the attack. And again, on the other side, keeping a much more nailed down defence, that is a massive objective for Kess and these guys on the field, is just being very, you know, relentless on the defensive side.
That was David Critchley talking a little bit in the press conference today. With all of what Critch said in mind, we'll get some more perspective from Dale Schilly, St. Louis City Academy director, assistant coach for City 2, and always our game analyst on Y98. We'll talk about it more with Dale next on KMOX.
Ruvala back to Leuven. Pompey is straight on. Azelmark, he rips one. He scores! Oh, Delio Pompey! I haven't seen something that filthy get sent into the net since I listened to the new Sabrina Carpenter album. Did he leave?
The goal by Celio Pompeu. The call by Joey Zanaboni. Last game, Dallas and City tie 1-1. That was City's one goal in a game with 41 or 42 shots, depending on how you look at it. Here to talk to me about it now, Dale Schilly. He was the analyst alongside Joey Zanaboni at the last game. He is our St. Louis City Academy director, City 2 assistant coach, and also the stealer of charging cords in the booth when he needs to charge his phone. Dale, thanks for joining me tonight.
Yeah.
I wrote that in my notes, to be sure. I didn't forget.
Humiliation with you, isn't it?
A little bit. Hey, nobody wants to get below what 5 or 10%. You got to have enough of your phone. Happy to help out where I can. Well,
I live lower than 5%, unfortunately. But
I bet you
do. But when I get it charged, I will Google Sabrina Carpenter. so I know what Joey's talking about.
We'll have to. Kyle Sixta's alongside me now, and he is on the next game. Maybe you can, Kyle, you can fire up some Sabrina Carpenter for the song leading into the pregame show with you and Joey. Dale, I know you were on the game. We relived a lot of the highlights that night. Of course, that was Celio Pompeu scoring that goal. And it was great to see Celio do that. What I wanted to call it with a fact was that David Critchley was asked a little bit about that particular goal today. And he talked about not only did it come off the set piece, of course, but he talked about how the team has been working a little bit more on not only the first phase of the corner kick set piece, but the second phase is where he said Celio scored that in. Could you explain that a little bit more about how that works in training and how that translated to the goal?
Yeah, I think just so much of restart practice and, you know, rehearsing and that kind of stuff sometimes finishes with just that first moment. You know, let's say that there's X amount of runs in a box and they're going to crisscross or they're going to set a screen or it's going to be a timing situation that, you know, you're going to get to a certain spot when a ball arrives. But then, you know, there's always that second phase. So the ball that falls to the ground, you know, do you have guys sealing the ball? Do you have – or sealing the 18 area, so if a ball comes out that you can deal with the second ball? And that's really what you're talking about. You're going to get a shot off of that second phase. Are you going to try to connect the next pass, which I think is what they did in that one, was Saylor received the ball to finish. So, yeah, it's really, you know, just preparation. And in, you know, a lot of ways, it can't be super rehearsed or choreographed because you don't know where it's going to fall to the ground. But guys being aware to – have a plan, to be alert, to know that it's a part of the restart is an important piece, and it paid off in that one because Celio smacked it, and I know you do, and I do as well. I love it when Celio scored goals. He's such a good guy and an important part of the first few years of this club.
Yeah, I feel the same way, and I'm so glad that you said that because he will be the player profile for the next game, so it's always great to hear from one of our definite fan favorites. Making you relieve a little PTSD is, you know, recapping. Matt Pauly asked me in Sports Open Line, and I wish I had a great answer for him because given the number of shots, given the number of shots on goal, given the number of times, Dale, I think in the highlights that you were like, here it is. And in any other game, there it would have been. Why not this game?
Yeah, you know, I felt like the first half it was coming. I did not feel like it was coming in the second half. You, from a territorial perspective and from a ball being in a dangerous spot perspective, but only the Klaus moment where Vollum played a ball across the 18 on the floor and Hartle dummied it and Klaus took a touch and went to rip it and it got blocked. That was one that I felt like was going to be a goal, but the other ones were scrambles and toe pokes and it didn't feel like we had clean moments. And I'm sure I'm missing, you know, a more than a half chance in there, but there were just a lot of scrambles. And for me, I felt like that in the first half, we tried to combine, we tried other ways to get in and create chances. Whereas in the second half, it felt like that a really high percentage of our entry balls into the 18 came from the flank and from services. And that was, you know, once you do that against a team that's playing with three center backs and three guys that are good in the air, and they're built to deal with those sort of entry balls, your percentages of getting clean chances goes way down. And that's where I felt things fell apart for us.
Of course, I think the second most popular question I've been asked too is, how can you lose a game when you're up a guy, especially for 75% of the game? But it really is, if you play before, it's not. It seems like the numbers game should be in your favor, and it is. But there is this weird thing that when you're attacking somebody who has, you know, they pack it in and really aren't looking to be super aggressive, even though they're a man down, it's harder to beat that than you think.
Well, I said it after the red card was that this may hurt us. And because I thought we were really good at even numbers and felt like that we had a good game plan. And you could also see that Dallas wasn't that interested in playing. They weren't overly aggressive or assertive. It's not like they were coming at us. I do feel like internally there's some issues with that team based on their response. We gave them the goal to draw 1-1. There's no reason for us to handle the throw-in as we did. But to your point, once we lost the player, they had no interest in winning the game. They didn't make any changes as it got down to the 85th minute or so, where they could have readjusted their shape and tried to steal a goal at the end, to change the score line. Because, look, they did what they wanted. They got to the 85th minute without giving up a chance, without giving up a goal. So, I don't think they were interested. It's a hard one to explain, but unfortunately for us, we couldn't figure out how to break them down, and that's been a bugaboo for us for a while, is how do we beat teams when they give us the ball?
Yeah, and David Critchley called it out a number of times today, is obviously being able to score in big moments, but it obviously must be weighing on his mind, because the number of times he said leaking goals was very, very many today in the press conference. That, you know, it's an interesting swing of the pendulum from a City team that started out being pretty staunch on the defensive side and couldn't score goals, it seemed, at least not many. And then on the other side, by the end of the season, it seems to be creeping the opposite way. Is that, with 5 games left, what has City got to do in that back line to make sure? And it's not just the back line. I know it's everybody. It starts from the front on making sure that defense is as solid as the chances they get and hopefully finish up top.
I tell you what, I'm going to skip the question and I'm going to jump. I'm going to jump straight to, you know, something bigger picture, just because of where we are in the season and in the table and et cetera, et cetera. You know, we have spoke about this from day one. I think I used the term early on that the sheets were too short, that when our toes are warm, our head's cold, and when our head's cold, our toes are warm. And in this situation, we have, when we press, we give up goals. When we sit deep, we don't score. So it's a matter of getting the roster right. We have some big decisions to make, positionally. All the guys are good players. We just have to get the right people to match together, so we don't have such a short sheet, and that we can press and still defend, or we can sit deep and still be able to score on the break. So we have bigger fish to fry than just how we're going to get through this weekend or next weekend. We have to think about next season and the decisions that are sitting right here in front of us.
Fair enough. Before I let you go, Dale, let's look ahead then to CF Montreal. You and Joey Zanaboni will be traveling there with the team. We've got Mekhi Joyner back. Sangbin Yang is back. I know they were at practice. Montreal, a team who's already been eliminated. I understand, if I understand it right, that their squad is rather young. They could choose to do just about anything with what they have remaining in their season. Yet City, not eliminated yet, but everybody wants to finish strong. What might this game look like on Saturday?
When I've watched Montreal, they play with a big spread. They'll be from touchline to touchline when they're in possession, and I think that plays into our hands. So if we can press and win the ball, we should have the opportunity to get out on the break and play in transition before they have a chance to drop in and defend those transition moments. So I like our chances this weekend, but goodness, we had 43 shots last week and scored once.
Got to do better than that. Dale, thanks so much. I'll be looking forward to hearing you. I myself will be in Dallas. Matt Rocchio will be filling in for my position. He's going to be our next guest, but I'll be listening to you guys. Have a great trip. Have a great call. And we will listen to you from Montreal.
Thank you.
Thanks. That was Dale Schilly. He is our game analyst on Y98. He and Joey Zanaboni will be on the call on our sister station, Y98, starting at 6 p.m. So it's a 6 p.m. start over our usual 7 with a 6:30 p.m. game kickoff. Matt Rocchio will be filling in for myself as I travel with a kiddo, go figure, for soccer. Surprise, surprise. Matt Rocchio will be filling in for me, and he's not only a producer here at KMOX, but he's also a City analyst at STL Sports Central. Matt is up next to talk more City on KMOX.
Now, back to the City Spotlight.
Our city! Our spirit!
Once again, Jen Cease on KMOX.
Yeah, Sangi, he's a different profile than Celio. Last week we played out of a different shape as well. I know you're all aware of. We played out of a two-system striker shape last week. what Sangi does is he helps with a dynamic of stretching a game and getting him behind. So he opened up spaces differently. The way he can accelerate and take on players with his physicality is a weapon that this group should and could benefit from. But yeah, Sangi comes in with a different profile and he can attack space very, very well. Thomas is a player that is, if it's a chaotic moment, he's really good at escaping that. So he'll be one of them that we're heavily looking at for the weekend to utilize, just because he gets out of chaotic moments and high press moments pretty well.
That was interim head coach David Critchley talking about Sangbin. They call him Sangi on the team. Sangbin Young, who's back in training, as well as Tomas Ostrak, who did not start in the lineup last game. But the way he talks about both those players makes me wonder if they may feature this weekend. Here to talk about me about that and more is Matt Rocchio. He's a KMOX producer. You've heard him alongside me here, along with the city analyst for STL Sports Central. If you want to yell at him on social media, you can find him on Twitter, X, or whatever we're calling that platform now, at @ROCCSTL. Matt, thanks for joining me as a guest tonight. I really was looking forward to this.
Of course, Jen. I'm happy to be here.
So I played that clip when I heard the press conference today. I'm like, oh, I got to ask Rock about that, because your player profile, which will be in our next segment here on this show, is Salio Pompeu. I know he's a favorite of yours. He's a favorite of mine. But the way David Critchley talks a little bit about what Sangbin Young can do in the lineup, how they want to maybe attack Montreal by stretching their lines, and what Tomas Ostrak can do amidst chaos makes me wonder if they might feature and what that might do to Salio Pompeu.
Yeah, that was really interesting hearing him talk about Sangbin Young that way, the way that he's going to try to get past the line. He's going to try to stretch the defense and things like that. We heard him talk about that's why Simon Bescher got the start in a previous week, is because they need more people making those runs right at the defense. And that's what Simon Bescher is going to do. So hearing him describe Sangbin's speed, hearing him describe Celio Pompeu's skill, and also being able to kind of run a two-striker set at times, it was interesting to hear him break it down. It's fascinating the way they've played the wings. And now with everybody healthy and everyone back this week, they can pretty much put out any lineup they want.
Yeah, it makes me, you know, everybody likes to toy and play with the lineups. When you're not the head coach doing it, it feels a lot more fun and easy to do. But knowing that City's penchant for a four-back, we can kind of figure out what that might look like. But is City able to get a lineup that puts Salio on at the same time as Sangbin? And also, of course, you've got to have Marcel Hartl out there. And Tomas Ostrak has a penchant, like we said, for chaos. Is there a lineup that can possibly feature all of them?
Yeah, the one that puts in mind is moving Marcel Hartl inside to a natural 10 position.
Right under Klaus.
And then playing Celio on the left side where he's super comfortable. And even though he played on the right side last time, and then Sangbin kind of slides back into his natural right wing spot. The thing where that it does, you know, kind of take away from you is that Tomas Ostrak is going to remain on the bench, because if you are running that situation with those four guys as your attackers, you really need to stay with some consistency in the central midfield. So you probably still have Durkin and Leuven, or Vallum and Leuven, as your two center midfielders. You can't really put Ostrak in, but it is another way to get some attacking going if they want to go that way. Your point, you bring up Tomas Ostrak, gives them so much more consistency in the central midfield when you play him. He's able to play out of presses. David Critchley mentioned that. So there are ways to get these players on the field at once, but it is always going to be a trade-off.
So I wasn't able to be at training on Tuesday. I'm so grateful that you were. Give me a little update on how it looked and how the guys were. You know, from David Critchley's perspective, he's a positive guy, says there's a lot of energy and intensity. I know Songbin's back from his international duty. Mackay's back. I think Seth Antwi from City 2 trained alongside. What was your perspectives and what are you thinking about?
I think, to your point, just a lot of bodies have been available for David Critchley. Other than Cedric Toyshirt, no one's really hurt. Other than Sangbin and Mackay being gone, they were back this week after being on international duties respectively. And it's just a full group. And so being able to completely evaluate every part of this team, challenge every part of this team. You also heard from earlier today, David Critchley talked about a great question from KMOX's Drew Young, talked about how when you're making this decision of who to start, you know, you have to take in consideration how somebody played this past game. You also have to take in consideration how they trained. Did they play well? Did did they train well? If they did both, it's a pretty easy conversation. If they only did one of the two, then things are up in the air and you wonder how things go. So we know with a guy like Celio Pompeu, he played really well. So did he train well this week with everybody else also healthy? Did he set himself up to be a starter this weekend? We know he played well. Did he train well? That's the big question. That's what David Critchley has to decide. And again, he's got bodies for the first time really this season. So one way or another, when he makes a decision, someone's sitting out that probably could be starting.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I noted that too. It wasn't a clip that I played, but it is not unusual for fans to wonder, hey, this player had a great game last game. What happened to them in the lineup next game? Well, it could be a number of reasons, just like you said. And Critch said, you know, you basically got to tick all, to be immediate starting 11, you have to tick all the boxes. Great game last game. Mm-hmm. You have to have a great training week. And by the way, also have to fit the profile of what your opponent, you know, if you're not the right person to face an opponent, you might not be starting in that. But you really have to tick all those boxes. And when you don't tick one of them, then the staff comes in and everybody talks about, who are we going to do? When you think about that, you kind of made the point that Tomas Ostrak likely will be on the bench. It certainly won't be from lack of performance, but just because there's just so many guys available right now.
Yeah, I still think there's a chance that we see Tomas Ostrak start because of the ability of him to control the ball on an away game and things like that. But talking to David Critchley, he just has so many options now with what to do with that quote-unquote attacking four. The question is, you know, do they need a more defensive or controlling lineup, which is what I would describe when they play Tomas Ostrek. It's not necessarily a 4-3-3 if we want to get into the formations, but if you watch the games where they've played Ostrek, you know, as the third midfielder, as the fourth part of the attacking four, they play in that flat 4-3-3 a lot more. That gives them, in my opinion, a lot more defensive flexibility than the 4-2-3-1 does. So it is more of a defensive lineup. And so now that David Critchley has pretty much everybody except for Cedric Teuchert, I know obviously Simon Bescher is now pulled a little bit of an injury, yeah, but he now has enough bodies that there are multiple options at every position, essentially. So he has decisions to make. He can keep on running Marcel Hartl out at the left wing spot, and then the form of the team kind of builds from there. If they do that, it's probably going to be Tomas Ostrak and Sangbin Jeong as the other players in that attacking three, you know, behind Klaus. But if they do want to pull the trigger on Marcel Hartl playing centrally for the first time in a month or two, well, then all of a sudden it's like, okay, we have the wingers, Celio naturally on the left, Sangbin naturally on the right. But again, you lose the versatility of a Tomas Ostrek. So it's like to your point, there's a balance. Which lever does David Critchley and company need to pull? And at the same time, which levers do the players help him pull by actually performing in training or this past week? We know Celio did, so what happened here in training? We know Celio played well. We know Tomas Ostrak adds these things, but do they need those things over the boost of offense? Those are the levers. That's always the trick that these guys have to work through every week.
And of course, you mentioned balance. The other part of the equation of balance is balancing the defense, balancing a lineup. Henry Kessler was in the press conference today, and you know him, along with David Critchley, both talked about the fact that it's not good enough, leaking goals, not having clean sheets in, you know, so many matches. What would you like to see on the back line? And it's not just the back line right away. Defense starts from the person who loses the ball. The higher up you are on the field, the more you win the ball up top, the least you have to worry about them getting to your goal. That said, what would you like to see in the back line?
Yeah, I mean, to that point, the mistake that cost them on Petar Musa's goal is a mishandling, yeah, by Chris Durkin, a midfielder. But it is a mistake, you know, probably passing into that situation by a defender. So I just need to see consistency from the entire defensive core. All six players that are usually involved, the back four and the two-man pivot, those six players have to communicate, and there has to be consistency. Because right now, I'm not seeing the moments on defense that we've seen over the last year where just the defense is out of position, and that's why they're getting beat. Clearly, they're getting stretched apart because the team's form isn't solid enough offensively and in transition. That was the problem at times last year. This time, we're good for 75 minutes. There's 15 minutes where we completely lose any sensibilities across the game. And it, yeah, might not be the same 15 minutes. It might be three different 5-minute pockets. But almost every game, those three 5-minute pockets, they let up a goal at least in one of them, and they let up really dangerous attempts in the other two of them. That's the problem with this team. The defense, more so than any other part of this defense, this part of this team, has not played a full 90, and they're going to need to do that on the road to finally take home 3 points.
All right, thanks, Matt. Thanks also in advance for filling in for me on the next game. Look forward to hearing you on the pregame and the halftime and some of the postgame. Have a great time doing that, and appreciate your input on this show.
Of course, and enjoy the Celio player profile.
Thank you so much. That was Matt Rocchio. He's a KMOX producer and city analyst. You can catch him on STL Sports Central, and his handle on Twitter, X, is at @ROCCSTL. Make sure you follow him there. And also, he'll be filling in for myself on Y98 on the game this coming up and doing those duties, and then probably switching right over to STL Sports Central to do his post-game analysis. He's going to be a busy man Saturday night, and he'll be writing alongside Kyle Sixta, who will be producing the game as well. I hope those two behave themselves while I'm away. Stay right here. One more segment to go, and it's a preview of our Y98 pregame profile with Matt Rocchio and city midfielder Celio Pompeu. That's up next on KMOX.
Now, back to the City Spotlight.
Our city! Our spirit!
Once again, Jen Cease on KMOX.
Back on the City Spotlight for our final segment, and it's a preview of our next Y98 pregame player profile. Matt Rocchio, KMOX producer, city analyst for STL Sports Central, will be stepping in for me. I usually do the player profiles, but Matt did it. He caught up with Celio to check in on where things are for our city midfielder favorite from earlier in the season in April when I talked to him to where he is now.
How are you feeling, you know, going into this week of training?
Oh, of course, it feels very good to score, to have a good game. Gives you more little extra motivation, gives you more like hungry, you feel good by yourself. So it's just, I just want to go again this weekend and try to do good again and keep this consistent high, you know, to score another goal, two games, two goals, two or assists, trying to impact the game in the positive way.
But is there a mental difference in training this week when you know that there's a chance you get another start?
I mean, honestly, no, because I always do it regardless if I'm going to start or not. I want to do this work for myself, you know, because you never know in soccer. So I just want to be ready all the times, honestly. Like, it's not if I'm going to start or if I'm not starting. The preparation's kind of the same.
This week, you know, you got the goal, but one of the big things, you get to start, but it's at a different position. You're out over on the right wing instead of the very comfortable left wing. Just for you personally, for your game, what is it like for you being on that opposite right flank?
Of course, like in the left, I'm more like confident of taking people on because, I don't know, my set of skills is different, the left and the right. But also, one thing doesn't change, I'm going to be aggressive, you know, I'm going to press players, I'm going to get turnovers from the center backs like I did, and it's definitely going to be more crosses, more on the floor crosses like I had some to Klaus Cicello in the last game. But yeah, it just changed little things, but it's more like playing without the ball, I feel like, when I'm playing the right. But yeah, but both sides I'm comfortable, like anywhere in the attacking area I can play. Only keeper I cannot play, but even center back keeper me.
Could have played some wing back too if you wanted.
Yeah, no, I played that this season. Yeah. I play wing back, left wing back, right wing back. So anywhere I can, I'm going to play and try to do my best.
So it forces you to be more of a facilitator than a scorer necessarily?
In the right? Kind of. I feel like that. But also, like, I don't care. If we're going to get the positive results, I don't care. And honestly, like, being like last game, I supposed to be the facilitator, but I ended up scoring. So, like, you know what I mean? So it's just got to be there, ready, and when the opportunity comes, you got to embrace it.
You got a lot of time when you talk about that on that goal. You got a lot, you know, the defense wasn't pressuring you as much, but just walk us through your thought process.
So my mindset right now, it's like this season, of course, is a frustrating season, but I'm trying to be myself more, you know? Sometimes I'm trying to, like, make everything perfect and trying to give the assist. But now I'm just starting to be more myself and do what it comes to my mind. And then it was the instinct. The ball came, or I'm going to shoot it, like I always did. And sometimes I feel like I hesitate during the season. So now I'm just trying to be myself. And when I'm myself, I'm playing my best.
What took you out of being yourself?
Being injured, of course, you just, when you, especially in an injury like I had, it was a lot of mental things, a lot of things going through my head, because you just want to come back like yourself, moving like you. And of course, in the beginning, it was a little weird. You got to readapt again. You got to basically learn how to walk again. But then, and then later, you just, when you're healthy, you don't want to get injured again. So you worry about those things. And now, like mid-season to now, it starts to like, oh, now I'm myself. Now I'm good again. I'm not even thinking anymore about anything else. I'm just thinking about playing a good game. So now I'm just kind of like being myself. But of course, being out, and then I played a good game against Portland. And then I got a thing in my shoulder. And those things like put you 2 steps back. But then again, now I'm just trying to be, I should have done it before, but now I'm just trying to be myself more and trust my abilities, because that's what it bring me here where I am today. And of course, if I be myself more, scoring more goals, more assists, it's going to be even better for the team and for myself.
What made you say, I gotta get back to who I was?
Of course, talking to my best friends, you know, my guys that tell me the truth, that does not just tell me positive things, that tell me what they see. Talk to my guys, my family, and then it's just what I feel, you know, like talking to myself too. It's just like my own talk with myself, and then I felt like I gotta be me more. And I think that's the change, and I hope it's like a mental thing, but it's just gotta keep going and being consistent in that, you know, because, you know, if I be myself, I'm gonna help the team and I'm gonna help me. So why I trying to make everything perfect? When I'm not perfect, it's then I'm my best. So I was never perfect. So yeah, that's it.
100% Celio Pompeo. I think we can all agree as City fans, more authentic, more of Celio Pompeo being himself does all the good for St. Louis City and for the team City. That was Matt Rocchios speaking with Celio Pompeo a little bit earlier this week. That will be, if you listened, you just got a preview of the pregame player profile we do on Y98. We also, by the way, house them all those City content that we do is housed on the Odyssey City Spotlight page, so you can catch the show and replay it if you missed a part. You can catch catch parts like that with Celio Pompeo. So make sure you go there for all things St. Louis City. The next MLS regular season game for City is away as they take on CF Montreal this Saturday, September 13th. That will be a kickoff at 6:30. So that means pregame starts at 6 p.m. on Y98, where Matt Rocchio will lead that out for me, filling in. So I really appreciate that. I'm Jen Cease, and you've been listening to the City Spotlight on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.